Sabbath blessing and welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening on the radio and also on the phone and later on the recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this beautiful Sabbath, September 16, 2017. We are going to continue our review. We are going to be reviewing chapter 49 at the Feast of Tabernacle, part 3. Our opening song is a scripture song, and this one is located in Psalms 100, verses 1 through 4 from the King James Version. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that, O Lord, He is God. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And the memory verse is, it is He that has made us and not we ourselves. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer.
We'll kneel and bow our heads in our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. Oh, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for bringing us safely through another week, and thank you for keeping us and for guiding us, dear Father. Lord Jesus, as I pray, as you come to partake of your spiritual food, dear Father God, that you would be with our minds and our hearts and our ears, and let the words of truth and inspiration be applied to thee. Help us to truly investigate ourselves and to put ourselves at your feet, dear Father God. Please be with my family, not just us, as we're not feeling well, but all the sick and the afflicted, those that are not feeling well today, whether spiritually, mentally, or physically. I pray that you also be with them and enlighten them, send your Holy Spirit to be around them and comfort them, dear Father God, I pray. And I know that you said that whatever it is that is asked on your Sabbath day, dear Father God, that before the sun goes down, that you will be granted. So I pray for a spiritual healing for us all. In Jesus' name, please be with us and be with the speakers today, dear Father God, and let your Holy Spirit reign so that the words can be placed in our hearts and our minds, and we could share it among others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, dear sister. Our opening scripture is taken from the book of John, chapter 7, verse 6, from the King James Version, and it reads, Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. This Sabbath, boys and girls, we will continue with our review with part 3 of our lesson entitled, At the Feast of Tabernacle, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the following verses, Bubla.
John 7:7. The world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. John 7:8. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. John 7:9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Amen.
John 7:10. For when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were a secret. John 7:11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he?
John 7:12. And Sabbath blessing, everyone. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some say he is good, is a good man. Others say, nay, for he deceived the people.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So today we will cover pages 451 through 452. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. We are in Desire of Ages, page 451. Bubble up.
Then, this is Desire of Ages, page 451. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into this feast. I go not up yet into this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Next slide, please. His brothers had spoken to him in a tone of authority, prescribing the course he should pursue. He cast their rebuke back to them, classing them not with his self-denying disciples, but with the world. The world cannot hate you, he said, but me it hateth. Because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. The world does not hate those who are like it in spirit. It loves them as its own. Desire of Ages, page 451, paragraph 2.
Amen. Question, boys and girls, and mommies and daddy, and also our guests. Why did Jesus not go up unto this feast? And what did he say the reason was that he would? The world cannot hate them, but it hated him. If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is, Jesus said, I go not up yet unto this feast. My time is not yet full come. And he said, but me here, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. The world does not hate those who are like it in spirit. It loves them as its own.
Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 451. The world for Christ was not a place of ease and self-aggrandizement. He was not watching for an opportunity to seize its power and its glory. It held out no such prize for him. It was the place into which his Father had sent him. He had been given for the life of the world to work out the great plan of redemption. He was accomplishing his work for the fallen race. On the top side, it says in Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. And God so loved the world, he sent Jesus, God's plan of salvation. And then the bottom side on the right says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Next slide, please.
Continuing, but he was not to be presumptuous, not to rush into danger, not to taste a crisis. Each event in his work, his appointed hour, he must wait patiently. He knew that he was to receive the world hatred. He knew that his work would result in his death, but to prematurely expose himself would not be the will of his
father. Amen. And that applies to us today. Question, boys and girls, what kind of place was the world for Christ, and who sent him, and for what purpose has he been given to the world? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The world for Christ was not a place of ease and self.
I don't even know how to say that. Aggrandizement?
Or for watching an opportunity to seize its power and its glory to help out no such prize for him. It was the place into which his father had sent him, and he had been given for the life of the world to work out the good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Very good, dear Sister Janelle. Let's learn our first beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of John, chapter 17, verse 3, from the scripture song singers in the section Heaven.
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, life eternal. John 17:3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us continue. Welcome to all of dear family that are joining us. We are in this IAP
Ages
450. Ages,
age
450.
From Jerusalem, the report of Christ's miracles had spread wherever the Jews were dispersed. And although for many months he had been absent from the feast, the interest in him had not abated. Many from all parts of the world had come up to the Feast of Tabernacles in hope of seeing him. At the beginning of the feast, many inquiries were made for him. The Pharisees and rulers looked for him to come, hoping for an opportunity to condemn him. They anxiously inquired, "Where is he?" But no one knew. The thought of him was uppermost in all minds. Through fear of the priests and rulers, none dared acknowledge him as the Messiah. But everywhere there was quiet yet earnest discussion concerning him. Many defended him as one sent from God, while others denounce him as a deceiver of the people. Desire of Ages, page 451, paragraph 4.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls. Why were the Pharisees and rulers looking for Christ to come up to the Feast of Tabernacle? And why was everywhere quiet and yet earnest discussion was had concerning him? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is they were hoping for an opportunity to condemn him. Anxiously, he inquired, where is he, but no one knew. The thought of him was uppermost in all minds, and through fear of the priests and rulers, none dared acknowledge him as the Messiah. Okay, Desire of Ages, page 152. Meanwhile, Jesus had quietly arrived at Jerusalem. He had chosen an unfrequented route by which to go in order to avoid the travelers who were making their way to the city from all quarters. Had he joined any of the caravans that went up to the feast, public attention would have been attracted to him on his entrance into the city, and a popular demonstration in his favor would have aroused the authorities against him. It was to avoid this that he chose to make the journey alone. Desire, Ages, page 152, paragraph 1.
Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddy, and also our guests. Why did Jesus did choose an unfrequent route by which to go? And why did he decide to make the journey alone? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is, in order to avoid the travelers who are making their way to the city from all quarters, and it was to avoid public attention to him on his entrance into the city, and popular demonstration in his favor would have aroused the authorities against him.
Desire of Ages, page 452. In the midst of the feast, when the excitement concerning him was at its height, he entered the court of the temple in the presence of the multitude. Because of his absence from the feast, it had been urged that he dared not place himself in the power of the priests and rulers. At his presence, every voice was hushed. All wondered at the dignity and courage of his bearing in the midst of powerful enemies who were thirsting for his life. Desire of Ages, page 452, paragraph 2. Sorry, for Haley.
Amen. Question, boys and girls, when did Jesus enter the court of the temple in the presence of the multitude? And what happened at his appearance? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is in the midst of the feast when the excitement concerning him was at its height. All were surprised at his presence. Every voice was hushed. All wondered at the dignity and courage of his bearing in the midst of powerful enemies who are thirsting for his life.
Amen. So let's learn another beautiful song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from a Spirit of Prophecy book, Ministry of Healing, and is located in page 58.
When every other voice is hushed and in quietness we wait, in quietness we wait before Him. The silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. He bids us, be still and know that I'm God. Ministry of Healing, page 58, be still and know.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This beautiful quotation is taken also from Scripture Song Singers in the section Peaceful Rest.
Desire of Ages, page 452. Standing thus, the center of attraction to that vast throng, Jesus addressed them as no man had ever done. His words showed a knowledge of the laws and institutions of Israel, of the sacrificial sacrifice, and the teachings of the prophets, far exceeding that the priests and rabbis. Far exceeding that of the priests and rabbis. He broke through the barriers of formalism and tradition. These scenes of that future life seemed outspread before him. As one who beheld the unseen, he spoke of the earthly and heavenly, the human and the divine, with positive authority. Next slide, please. His words were most clear and convincing, and again, as at Capernaum, the people were astonished at his teachings, for his word was with power. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. Under a variety of representations, he warned his hearers of the calamity that would follow all who rejected the blessings he came to bring to them. He had given them every possible proof that he came forth from God and made every possible effort to bring them to repentance. He would not be rejected and murdered by his own nation if he could save them from the guilt of such a deed.
And that word was Capernaum, Jesus' city.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Dick. And continuing, question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, and also our guests, how did Jesus address them as he stood as the center of the attraction before that vast throne? And what two barriers that had a strong hold upon them did he break with his word with power? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is he addressed them as no man had ever done. His words showed a knowledge of the laws and institutions of Israel, of the sacrificial service and teachings of the prophets, far exceeding that of the rest of the priests and rabbis. He broke through the barriers of formalism and tradition.
Let's learn our last beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is also taken from the book of John, but this will be chapter 6, verse 63 from the King James Version.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. are spirit and they are love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. This was also taken from Scripture Song Singers in the section Character Building. Well, dear ones, we have come to the ending of our first section of our review.
Good morning, boys and girls. When he was reviled, he reviled not. We don't use a word like that now. It's when people say bad things to or about you. That's reviling. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him, that is, to God, that judgeth righteously. 1 Peter 2:23. How often we feel that we have been dealt with unjustly. That's when people don't treat us right. That things have been said concerning us, they're untrue. Did anyone ever tell lies about you? How did it make you feel? And that we have been set in a false light before others. When we are tried, we shall need to keep strict guard over our spirit and our words. We shall need to have the love of Christ that we may not cherish an unforgiving spirit. If we're not willing to forgive others, we won't be forgiven by God. Let us not think that unless those who have injured us confess their wrongs, we are justified in withholding from them our forgiveness. That's like saying, if they won't say they're sorry, I won't forgive them. That's not Jesus' way of teaching, of treating others, excuse me. We should not accumulate our grievances. That's like saying, okay, this is the fifth time that person has said bad things about me. That's keeping an accumulation of wrongs. We should not accumulate our grievances, holding them to our hearts until the one we think guilty has humbled their heart by repentance and confession, or say they are sorry, however sorely they may have wounded us. They may have hurt us very badly. We are not to cherish our grievances or keep thinking about them and sympathize with ourselves over our injuries. We say, that person hurt my feelings. But as we hope to be pardoned for our offenses or sins against God, we must pardon those who have done evil to us. When we are reviled, when somebody says bad things about us or to us, how strong is the temptation to revile in return or say bad things to the other person? But in doing this, we show ourselves as bad as the reviler. When tempted to revile, send up a silent prayer that God will give you his grace and keep the tongue in silence. Jesus has given us an example that we should follow in his steps and manifest or show compassion and love and goodwill toward all. Let us cultivate or develop a kind spirit, a spirit of forbearance or patience, and tender, pitying love. You feel sorry for a person when you have pity toward those who, when under temptation, have done us grievous wrongs or deliberately done bad things to us. If possible, let us heal these wounds and close the door of temptation by removing every barrier the wrongdoer, that's the person who hurt you, has erected or placed between himself and us. The Lord delights to bestow or give his blessings upon those who will honor him, who will acknowledge or recognize his mercy, and show that they appreciate his love to them by manifesting or showing the same gracious characteristics to those around them. They follow the golden rule. Do you know what that is? The Bible says, "Whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them." Treat others like you'd like to be treated. Sons and Daughters of God, page 144. And our verse again says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." 1 Peter 2:23. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear President. And dear ones, we have come to the ending of our Children's Sabbath School Review. We will continue with part 4 of our lesson entitled At the Feast of Tabernacle next Saturday. By God's grace, and that will be on the 23rd. God bless each and every one. I'm going to just pass the mic over to our dear brother Bob. God bless everyone. Oh, sorry, dear ones. If any one of the dear little ones, mommies and daddies, would like to close with prayer.
If you come, kneel and bow our heads in our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for this prayer to have this blessed day. We thank you for this prayer to raise us up this morning. We thank you for this prayer to have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, our iniquities, now Christ-like Spirit. Let us remember what's true, what's false, what's right from wrong. Let us always remember that you are always there to help us. Be with us as we continue on to keep on learning things of the Sabbath. Let us remember what is right from wrong. Let us be able to be strong, be brave, and I pray that you may be able to be with us even as you are separated, that we may be able to still keep the faith, to keep on being strong. I pray that you may help us use our words to speak to any of the people in this world, that they may change their hearts and follow you instead of their own thoughts. I also pray that you may be able to let us be able to be grateful for everything that you've given us, and grateful for everything that you helped us to gain. And also, we pray that we may be able to grant our loyalty to you, keep on following the commandments, and keep on spreading the word to others. We pray that we may be able to keep on blessing the Sabbath and the rest that are soon to come. We love you, God, and look for that day when we are off the simple world. This is my guarantee, special point. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And personally, Father Jesus, we want to thank you for all the protective that you have done for all our dear brethren, especially those that are suffering loss of material things. But we are so thankful and grateful that you have preserved life and you have continued being merciful upon all of the dear individuals that may not have a knowledge of who you are, but we can see mercy and the love of God upon all of these situations. Help us to be able to speak a word in season and out of season. These things that are happening around us is also an opportunity to be able to bring people hope and let them be able to cleave to our Savior, where He's mediating for all of us. Love is drawing us closer, even though these things them are happening. We are thankful, Lord Jesus, that your love is still poured out. God bless each and every one of you, and may you all have a blessed Sabbath. Amen.